This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, and thank you for downloading this episode of the USEA's official podcast. I'm Chris Stafford. And on this episode, we're going to hear from Jennifer Hardwick about the upcoming annual convention, which takes place in New Orleans from December the 6th through the 9th. But first, we're going to hear from Rob Burke, who's going to explain some significant changes that will take place next year to international competition ratings. Rob, we're going to try and unpack this new classification of the star rating. Where would you like to begin?
Sure. First of all, I will say a couple of the reasons, as I understand them, as to why the changes are being suggested and actually put forward. For anyone who's followed this, it doesn't necessarily seem logical to those of us who are deeply embedded in the sport, but there are, some valid reasons for it, some others that, we understand. One being risk. So they have readjusted the levels and changed the highest levels of the sport and those at the Olympic Games for risk reasons, mainly for qualification. They want to make sure that people who qualify to compete are qualifying at the same level at which they will compete at the championship, really to make sure that they're safe. One of the big ones we keep hearing about is participation. They want to have more countries competing in the championship competitions like the Olympics, the World Equestrian Games. While changing the star system and taking out the designation of CIC or CCI seems confusing to eventers, there is some logic to it in that for dressage and show jumping, the classifications more evenly mirror the changes that are being made by the FEI. And then also kind of the big one that we keep hearing about is the FEI really wants to keep events in the Olympics. From what we understand, the International Olympic Committee did approach Equestrian, as they have done a number of times over the years, to request changes to the equestrian sports to make sure that they stay relevant to the broader competition. So really, just basically, I will say that all of the current stars, you think of really the one in the United States that we're most familiar with is the 4-star at Kentucky, Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event. That is now a 5-star, just simply speaking. So it shifted up one. All of the other stars below that have shifted up one as well. And then a new level has been introduced at the very bottom as a 1-star. And luckily here in the United States, we got ahead of that over the last several years and added a modified division to really mimic what we anticipated would be the new 1-star introductory level for FEI. So that's kind of just the basics, but happy to talk more about the different aspects that, as I understand them, of those new stars.
All right, well, let's translate the CICs into CCIs, because we now have an L and an S. You can unpack that for us.
Yeah, sure. So, I will start just basically and say CCI is, it really comes from, it's a French term if you weren't familiar. I don't speak French, so I'm not even going to try to butcher it, but, well, I will try to butcher it. Concours Complet International, which essentially, I actually think the word complet or complete is a beautiful description of what eventing is. It's really the complete or full competition. So we bring together our three disciplines into one. And we're getting rid of the whole CIC bit. So outside of that, I'll say that, for jumpers, it's CSI, Concours de Saut, which, as I now understand, means jump, and in English, and then Concours de Dressage, which I think those of us who know dressage traditionally understand that it comes from a meaning of training. So there's that. As far as the long and the short, so in the past, I will say too, just to simplify it for everybody, I've even gotten rid of the, when I talk about it, I don't say CCI anymore or anything. I just say long or short. So I'll say two star long, 2 star short, 3 star long, 3 star short, etc. And what it refers to at the end of the day is the distance and the number of obstacles on each of these particular cross-country courses that are being offered. Primarily, that's the main difference between these. So you will have the one or two slight variations of that is at the 5-star level, there is only 1 5-star long. There's no 5-star short. And at this new introductory 1-star level, there's no differentiation between a long or a short. There is just an introductory level. And then, you know, so that's it. I mean, you can look up the distances and the variations online. You know, they are available both through our website, at useventing.com, but also through the FEI is really one of the best places to go look it up. And their distances and heights will not actually differ from the current competition. So the 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, and 4-star under the current system, they're all just shifting up the star, but all those distances, all those, the complexity, the obstacles are staying the same.
And the number of efforts within that.
And the number of efforts, correct. Yeah, it's all staying the same. So, you know, it's... again, well, for those of us who are deeply entrenched in the sport, we scratch our heads and say, does this really make it easier to understand? You know, I would say, well, the broader general public, non-equestrian public, this will do very little to help them understand the sport. If I sat down with someone from the jumper discipline or from dressage who were unfamiliar with eventing, I think these descriptions would make a little bit more sense to them than our previous CCI differentiation. So,
and I think you made a good point there about describing it and leaving out the CCI part of it, because it's easier to say, you know, 3-star L, 3-star short, than and also for, you know, the spectators and those that are not directly involved with the sport, they're often being confused by the CCI and CIC.
Yeah, they are. You're right. And really, the only difference in the past was the length of the cross. There's other minor differences, but the major differences were the length and the length of the cross country course and the number of efforts on the cross country course. So, you know, at the end of the day, saying long or short probably is an easier description than CIC, CCI. But change is tough. I mean, I think we've all brings back memories for those of us in the United States who really loved the traditional long format. You know, it brings back bad memories of that being phased out of competition. You know, and as I think everybody knows now, the USEA especially, we are strong on tradition. We are one of the only countries in the world that still offer that traditional long format, and we will continue to offer it. I believe Britain has one competition still, but other than that, you won't find it anywhere else in the world. But, you know, when we get past that, that battle, which we've essentially lost at this point, we can fall into, okay, long, short, it's the length of the course, it makes sense, we get it, and hopefully it does help us relate and help keep us in the Olympics, which, because while we don't want the sport changed for one particular competition, I think we'd be kidding ourselves if we didn't say that the platform of the Olympics provides us a very good way to market and relate our sport to the broader public and inspire kids and amateurs alike to get involved. So,
well, for anyone that's confused, when we refer to the long format as it used to be, the traditional long format, there may be some listeners here, Robert, that are thinking, okay, well, how does that fit in with the CCIL now?
It doesn't. It's an entirely different thing. You know, the traditional long format, what's really funny to us is we've always, since we started the Since we continued the long format, the traditional long format in the United States, we've called it at the USA the classic series, the classic model. Unfortunately, for a slight bit of time there, the FEI started to call the highest levels of their sport the classic events, and that confused it a little bit, but I think they've gotten away from that. But yes, the traditional long format, such as we have through the preliminary level at certain competitions throughout the United States, where you do a very traditional competition, four phases on cross-country day. It's not just one cross-country run. It's two roads and tracks of trotting and going across the country, and as well as a steeplechase, and then finally the cross-country phase. So we still do it here. We see it as... I see it actually as a way for the United States to retain and maybe in the future have a better and more complete knowledge of conditioning and how to properly condition your horse for competition. And hopefully that pays off in the long run with some of our younger riders and amateurs who are coming up to the sport and have that experience where other people in the world won't. So.
And also to ride at speed, of course, not just go fast to beat the clock, but to learn to ride at speed.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a recent editorial in the Chronicle of the Horse, which was quite good. And they talked about how in the sport for the U.S. to really be successful, we need to focus on being experts in not only the sport of eventing itself, but in individual, dressage and jumping. I mean, I think we know this, but traditionally... At least I say traditionally, in the last 10 to 20 years, I'd say we have people specializing in eventing alone and maybe not necessarily taking the time out to become an expert in one of those individual disciplines. Well, I would say riding at speed, real speed, not just the cross-country speed, but steeplechase speed, is another place where we can become experts. And there's been some great riders. One young rider who I'm a real fan of, Logan Bearden. There's been others. I know Jenny Brannigan and others over the years who have also gone to the effort to become experts as essentially as jockeys or learn how to be a rider at speed. I think, again, it's one more way that will pay dividends for us as a nation in the long term if we have that kind of expanded expertise. So.
Well, that's a good point, and that's another conversation I think that we could expand on any time, Rob. But going back to the classic format then, for those that are big fans of it, are there going to be an increase in numbers of those competitions next year?
Really? Yes, they continue to expand, luckily, because of our members just having a strong interest in them, especially, like I said, our young riders and amateurs. We will continue to support them at great events across the country. There's, I know I'll leave a bunch of them out. That's not my intent, but Wardock is within 15 minutes of my house. There's a number of great ones on the West Coast, and then in Montana, you've got Rebecca Farm runs a really large contingent, and I know I believe Mid South and Kentucky. So they're all over the place. We love them, we'll continue to support those.
All right, and to avoid any confusion, that is nothing to do with the new classification of the FEI Star System. The Classic Series here in the U.S. runs very separately and will continue to grow. And then just coming back to the summarize this reclassification, Rob, in a nutshell, your star rating, long and short, just wrap it up for us, would you?
Yeah, at the end of the day, we're shifting all the divisions up a level as far as how we designate them. So don't be confused when you see the new listings in our Omni prize list and schedule. One kind of parting point I want to leave is, in the United States, in Britain, in New Zealand, Australia, France, Germany, really the eventing powers that we think of traditionally, and I'll throw Canada in there too because I love the Canadians. There are members in for the most part as well. We we are very set in our ways. We know how it's been. We know how we want the sport to continue. And we will continue to fight for that kind of what we view as the traditional sport. At the same time, things like the introduction of this new one-star level, the new introductory level, I can get it. I have some good friends who ride and compete in countries like India, where they don't have the sort of national system that we have. They don't have competitions through preliminary and then intermediate and advanced. So for them, I can only imagine, and I think our listeners could imagine, if the first time you ever competed in our sport was to go to a preliminary competition, it would scare the pants out of you and you would probably detract a majority of competitors. And in some of these countries, like India, the only lowest level eventing competition offered in their country was a one-star competition. And I think our listeners probably relate with the idea that the FEI has said, at least for those countries, for sure, let's offer a lower, more easily accessible level to the public. So I get it. And so we're shifting all the stars up to adjust for it.
All right. Well, all of that, of course, is on the website at useventing.com and also on the FEI website. Is there anywhere particularly you'd like to direct our members, Rob?
Like I said, just at useventing.com, just search for anything about the new star system. And we have kind of a colorful title for a story that we just published. And it I won't go into details, but I will say it's a very nice explanation of the new star system. And the first two words are what the, so. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll leave the rest to our imagination. Rob, thank you very much for joining me as always.
Anytime. Thanks, Chris.
Well, I'm joined now by Jennifer Hardwick, who's the Senior Director of Member Services and Convention Planning here at the USCA. We're already up a few weeks to go now before the convention. It comes around very quickly. Jennifer, what's happening this year?
This year, thank you, Chris, for having me. This year, we're being hosted in the gorgeous city, the city that never sleeps, New Orleans. We're at the Sheraton this year, Sheraton New Orleans, December 6th through the 9th. Everything kicks off on Thursday. We are planning the 7th year Eventing Hall of Fame, and we're truly excited about the inductees that are coming in this year.
Yeah, it is a big year, lots of celebrations to add on to everything else, all the normal business that takes place. So take us through the week, Jennifer. We do this every year just to talk through what members can expect when they come to convention. So let's start at the beginning.
Absolutely. So it's a pretty full agenda. We start off, kick off everything on Thursday. We have the Board of Governors meeting taking place on Thursday, 2 to 5 p.m. Then we have the PHC that's also doing a seminar, quite a few open seminars for our members to attend. And, of course, we have our committee business that we have to take care of, that boring stuff. But after that, Friday, we have a really full agenda with the year-end awards function taking place. This year is a luncheon. And then Friday evening, we have ERA of NA is doing a reception. So I'm sure they'd love to see a few people join them. We have a really full agenda on Friday. We have the Safe Sport meeting that I expect quite a lot of a big attendance just to hear what's going on in the sport, as well as some really key meetings taking place and seminars that I think everyone will enjoy from a lot of our sponsors or doing some updates on their seminars. So really a good time to come out, see what's going on, hear what's going on, hear what the movers and shakers are saying. And then also probably might catch a few glimpses of some of our inductees being interviewed prior to the Eventing Hall of Fame.
Let's just go back to the Safe Sport session then, if we can, Jennifer, because as you said, it's a key segment here at a convention this year. Members will want to know what's going on because mandatory training is coming in on January 1st under the USCF's rules, therefore Safe Sport. So who will be speaking there and what will that involve?
So actually the Safe Sport is on Saturday. It's taking place on Saturday from about 3:30 to 4:30. The speaker there is Sonia Keating from the USCF. She will be talking about all things safe sport. I really don't know much about it, so I'm not even going to attempt to get to speak on that. I'll leave that to the experts. And then on Saturday, we also have the event, the annual meeting of members, where discussion about what's going on with our sport, where we're heading, any new things that are coming in that our members really need to know. And then we lead off the evening, we finish off the evening with their Eventing Hall of Fame, a really big gala where all of our inductees are inducted into Eventing Hall of Fame. But throughout the day, our vendors are there. It's open to anyone. We have tons of meetings still going on. And then, of course, everybody stops about 5 o'clock, get all dolled up and come out and just enjoy and help celebrate these new inductees into the Eventing Hall of Fame. We're truly excited about that. And what better place to do it than New Orleans, right?
Absolutely. Well, let's not forget the awards that happen every year as well. And a lot of people look forward to those, too. Tell us when we can expect that.
The year-end awards, as everyone knows, it's the accumulation of all the amazing efforts of these horses and riders throughout the year. And it's our way of showing that we really, truly appreciate all that they've done this season. They've worked really hard, and we're celebrating their success with a luncheon on Friday from noon till 2. And then we take it off. They're awarded, and we do a really nice presentation, our massive ceremony. Our famous Jim Wofford will be there doing his stuff. And then we lead it off to quite a few other meetings going on, membership meetings, organizers forums, and stuff like that, that I really believe that our attendees should try to at least attend some of these meetings. This year, we kind of lighten up the schedule so everyone will have an opportunity to see and hear what's going on without having to miss some key meetings. So we worked really hard at putting that together. So hopefully everyone can come away with some really amazing experiences and some good takeaway notes from the meetings. Our speakers will be chatting, probably giving out handouts about what's going on. So we're trying to make it really user-friendly for our attendees there this year. And you know, Chris, I completely forgot, and please excuse me, our annual meeting this year and our keynote speaker is an amazing gentleman. And I know you're going to ask me about that.
I was coming to that next.
So I didn't want to slight anything there. So Mr. Eric DeVonder will be our keynote speaker this year. Everybody knows who he is, and I'm expecting an absolutely amazing address for our annual meeting luncheon this year. So please come on down, listen to what he has to say. I myself are truly excited to hear what he has to say. So that takes place at noon. So it's a buffet lunch. All are invited. If you're registered for the convention, your lunch ticket is automatically included in that registration. Come out, enjoy it, have some lunch on us, and listen to what our new keynote speaker has to say. I think you're going to love it.
Always a high point of the convention, of course. And are there any other speakers that you'd like to mention at this point? Then we can look forward to Jennifer.
Of course, you know, we have Charles Owen, one of our big sponsors, has been with us for a number of years. Roy Burek will be the speaker for him. And so he'll be there on Friday. Then we have quite a few other speakers that I really, we also have the USADA education for athletes that'll be there, and that will be discussed by quite a number of representatives that will be there from the USADA that'll be speaking about that. That should be pretty interesting. It's all about drugging, you know. And then we have a first aid CPR training that Rusty Lowe will be conducting this year. And for our members, we do encourage that they go ahead of time, come before coming to the convention, to do the online class It's about a 2-3 hour class that we recommend they do it prior to coming, and then bring their certificate with them to finish up the on-site training. They will receive their certification at the convention. So that's a really good one. So if you need to refresh or take your CPR AED training, this is the place to do it. And everybody knows Rusty's amazing at that. And then we have, of course, the course designers. And this year, the convention is really aiming, focusing a lot on the officials. So we have a lot of official tracks. So what the officials are seeing out there, what they're experiencing, what members are asking, the questions them that are being addressed when they're doing their designing or officiating, all those things will be there. And there'll be lots of seminars that people can attend to hear what's going on and ask a lot of great questions. And this is the place for it.
Now, is there anything else that you would like our members to know? I know there's so much going on for those few days there in New Orleans. Any other high points? I mean, that's a great taste, of course, of what's going on with all the business and the keynote speaker and the Hall of Fame and Safe Sport. And as you say, course designers as well. And with Eric Duvander, that's a great week already. But anything else that you'd like to mention?
Well, you know, we try to keep the Friday evening relatively free. So everyone can get out and experience New Orleans at its finest. The weather should be amazing. The food, it should be off the chain, should be totally awesome. And the hotel that we're staying at this year is really, they're waiting for us. They're catering to our riders' needs. We are right downtown, right across the street. Everything is within walking distance. We encourage everyone to get down to Pat O'Reilly and try a hurricane. And then, you know, of course, Cafe Dumont is right down the street. Famous beignets. You want to try that. But once you land in the Louis Armstrong Airport, there is shuttle services that we've negotiated with that will offer our members some discount pricing to get to and from the airport. There's also a few other discounts that we've offered, negotiated for our attendees to receive while there, if they want to do any kind of touring, do the voodoo tour or the ghost tour, you know, the walking tour. All those are there for our members to get discounts on. And all that information is available on our website under the convention, and it's all listed there. They just have to let them know the code is USEA. But everything, all the details are listed there for our members to obtain and use that.
Okay. Well, that's an awful lot for members to look forward to, and what a fantastic program. And in terms of registration, they have to go to the website, they can still register?
Absolutely. So registration is available on the website. They just need to log into their account if you're a member and a register. If you're not a member, and we do encourage everyone to come, it's if you're a horse lover, this is where you need to be. You can, one, either register online or download the application and fill that out and fax or email it to us or mail it. You can register on site as well. After December 2nd, the online registration will close, and then you will need to register on site. We also have our convention app that lists all the programs and schedule of what's taking place at the convention. So it's right at your fingertip. You've got a smartphone, you're ready. Right this year, we will have a few paper schedule on site, but we're trying to be a little green. We're really moving along that line, and we hope that our members really appreciate that. We don't want to cut down any more trees than we have to, right? But honestly, I think that everyone, all our attendees, will have an amazing time. The schedule is jam-packed, and we're looking forward to it. And we just hope that everyone comes and have a great time with us, soak up a ton of information, take away some fantastic ideas, and share and collaborate and network while you're there. And please stop in, visit our sponsors in the vendor area, do some Christmas shopping while you're there, and have them either mail it home for you or take it with you in the airport. But everything is right there. So much to do, so much to eat, and so much to drink. But it will truly be an amazing convention, especially it's our Hall of Fame year, and we're looking forward to it. And we're looking forward to welcoming everyone there at the convention this year.
Fantastic. Well, you mentioned there the sponsors. We couldn't do it without them. Let's give a shout out to all of those that we appreciate their contribution to this year's convention.
Absolutely. We want to thank Rebecca Farm for their always generous donation for our refreshment and breakfast. And this year we have Dan Stewart that is also a co-sponsor with that. We have Neutrina, who's always been there at our back. We have Smart Pack, Charles Owen. We have Stackhouse Salary. We have Devaku. We have Sutton Transport. I almost forgot that. We have Auburn Labs, Ludapult, and there's a slew of others that, I don't want to forget anyone, but I know I am. But please go on our website and take a look at those guys, and please give a shout out. Most of them will be with us this year at the convention, and we hope that everyone will stop by and just talk to them and just ask what's going on, what's new in the industry, and they will be more than happy to share their information with you.
Yeah, well, it's not only entertaining, it's educational as well,
isn't it? Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
All right, Jennifer, well, thank you very much for giving us a sneak preview of this year's convention, and remind everybody to go to the website then, and the convention button is right there on the front page.
Absolutely. So it's www.useventing.com, and just click on the US, the convention logo. It's right there, smack in on the left, right-hand side. Click on that. It'll take you to the convention page. You can download the application or click on the convention app to see what's going on. You can log in to your account. Join up, or either join up there or sign in and sign up for the convention. Or even better, call us. We're happy to chat with you over the phone and take your convention and answer any questions that you have. And just one last bit of info for our guests attending the Hall of Fame. It is a formal attire. It is, we want to do honor and respect the inductees. So dress appropriately. Beautiful cocktail dress. Suit and tie is fine. I don't expect a black tie and tails or anything like that. But it is a cocktail formal affair. So.
Okay. Well, all that to look forward to. Lots of highlights for this year's convention. Jennifer, always great to hear about it. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast again.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Chris. Thank you so much for having me.
And as Jennifer said, don't forget to hop over to the website at useventing.com and get your registration made and your travel plans. And be sure to follow US Eventing on social media. Just look for US Eventing Association on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's a great way to keep up with daily happenings here at the USEA and throughout the sport in North America. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time for another episode of the USEA's official podcast. Until then, thanks for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.